We all go through crisis, and on this week's episode of HPDHQ, we have members of Mecklenburg County's Crisis Intervention Team.
Welcome back to HPDHQ, the official podcast of the Huntersville Police Department. I'm Odette Saglombeni, the Public Information Officer.
Hi, Odette.
Who are you?
Oh, I'm Brian Vaughn, the Lieutenant over Personnel and Training.
How long have we been doing this?
This is episode 9, which is more craziness.
I know.
I can't believe we've made it this far. And now at this point, because we have special guests today, we actually have had more episodes with special guests now, I think, than we have just us two.
Have we?
So it's possible we might be getting voted out of this thing.
Not yet.
Slowly.
Slowly. If we sound a little muffled, it's because we have our masks on.
Yep. So our guests that we're going to speak with today are from Mecklenburg County Crisis Intervention Training. And because I have no idea where they've been, I want to make sure that I have my mask on. and they have no idea where I've been. So yep. It's only fair. So
we're all masked up.
We are all masked up. So
makes it extra hot.
Yeah. So hopefully this thing doesn't last longer than 30 minutes, maybe.
We might pass that.
We are finally, we're finally on some fall weather.
I know.
Which I'm thrilled.
It feels so nice out.
And then Oktoberfests are upon us soon.
Yep. Don't drink and drive.
Please don't drink and drive. It's easier, cheaper to Uber.
I mean, there's so many ways to get places other than you driving.
Right.
So just be smart about it. Have fun. Be smart.
How was your ride home yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yeah, the traffic and stuff.
Oh, last week. Yeah. It was awful. There was a crash. I think it was mile marker 29, and it took about an hour and a half to get home. And then later on, past exit 42, there was another crash, and it took me a little over an hour to get three miles.
Did you have any almost moments?
I did not.
That's unlike you.
I mean, it did scare me when I came around the corner and traffic was at a complete stop.
Complete stop.
Those are always fun when that happens.
Oh, man.
I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about the people behind me.
You say that every week, but I think they're more worried about you.
No, I'm more worried about them.
That's good stuff.
How did your week go? Did you do any more exercising?
I did one day, which I'm realizing this whole beard thing, I'm only exercising. It's your fault.
You realize it's my fault?
It's your fault that I'm exercising. Otherwise, I would not exercise. I get out there and this beard that is for a great cause.
Yep.
But you get out there and you start sweating, and then the sweat starts coming through the beard, and then you try to wipe the sweat off, and then more sweat comes out of the beard.
I wouldn't know what it feels like.
Our two guests are laughing.
Sweating. What were you doing? Walking?
I was eating. I was eating. That's why I was sweating. No, I went for like a walk / run. I took the dog for, I think it ended up being like 3.5 miles. I ended up over in North Stone, and those hills in North Stone are ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I ended up over there, and yeah.
I had to do my test out for that challenge.
Oh, yeah, the CrossFit thingy.
Oh, it was awful.
How did you do?
I cut a minute off my Helen time, which I know most people don't know what that is, but CrossFit names workouts after people. I don't know why, maybe to make it
more
personal.
So many things I want to say about that, but I'm not going to.
Anyway, it's not Karen.
Yeah. never mind.
Anyway, so I cut about a minute off that time, but the bike, Satan's bike.
Yeah.
Not so well. I did do an extra calorie, but I was crawling on the floor.
So
it was pretty awful.
Satan's bike. I mean, do you equate that to a cat?
I think this is worse than the cat.
Is it?
It's worse than the cat.
Hmm.
You should try it.
Cats are awful. Our guests, are you guys cats or dog persons?
Dog.
Both.
Both. We got a dog and a... We got a dog and a both. I guess we'll get along with them okay.
Yeah.
I can imagine, like, jumping back to the traffic thing, how stressful that was, and you probably could have used crisis intervention training.
Yeah.
Sitting in traffic on 77.
Sitting in traffic, losing my mind, yeah.
So we'll give out that number shortly, and you might want to jot it down.
Yeah.
It's quite possible you'll
need
it.
Taking notes.
That's awesome. So we have two guests here today. We have Ebony and Johanna from Mecklenburg County Crisis Intervention Training, or what we refer to it as is CIT. This is very important training that our officers go through in order to develop some de-escalation skills to deal with people that might be in mental distress in the community. And, these are words that you've been hearing for years now, and something that we take pride in at Huntersville, and the training that we put our officers through to make sure that you, the best citizens of the world, have the best officers in the world and the best trained officers in the world, and that we do a great job of that.
We've got about, 20?
Yeah, 20. We'll do that. Yeah, we got about 20 currently on staff that are certified, and the training that they go through, we're going to get into that in a minute. And our goal is to have every officer, that at least on patrol, be certified in this, and this kind of coincides with the other de-escalation training that we do on an annual basis.
Yeah, and with having so many that are certified, I know 20 doesn't seem like a big number, but when we only have about 15 or so people on patrol at a time, there's a good chance that at least one of those officers is going to be CIT certified.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a great tool.
Yeah, so there's 55 or 60 or so officers assigned to patrol, so a third of those are trained in CIT right now, which that's great. So without further ado, we have Ebony and Johanna. Hello.
Hi.
How are y'all?
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you all for coming up to the other side of the world, Huntersville, visiting us up here on the lake. We appreciate you coming up here, and it's just ironic that this is coming up right now, that we just have gone through and we kind of scheduled these things out weeks in advance, and then some of this stuff is just as pertinent today as it was 6 months ago. So welcome, and we just want to dive into crisis intervention training.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, awesome. So how long have you all been, we can start with Johanna first. How long have you been with Mecklenburg County CIT?
Since February. I'm relatively new.
Okay.
I've had a little bit of time before COVID hit, and then, COVID hit and things changed a little bit with our program.
I haven't even heard of COVID.
What's COVID?
I haven't even heard of this.
What are these things on our faces?
That's awesome. So were you in some sort of CIT role before?
So before I was with our child development community policing team.
Okay.
So I was responding with Huntersville officers and CMPD and to address children and trauma. But I was still involved with the training. I was a presenter and a role play person. So, and we'll talk more about that when we get into the training piece.
Yeah, awesome. And Ebony, how long you been with CIT Mecklenburg County?
Yeah, so I also started with the child development community policing team as a therapist there, responding to children and who were exposed to trauma. And about 3 years ago, I transitioned over to CIT, and it's been fantastic ever since. And I'm now in the role of clinical supervisor, and Johanna is in the role of coordinator.
Awesome. That is, and there's a bunch of experience between the two, and you both have had the opportunity to meet officers at all the different departments. Sometimes my brain goes
faster than
my mouth.
Your mouth. Yeah.
I feel bad for my wife and son.
So do I.
They probably feel bad
the
for you.
The curse of being smart.
No, I don't know about all that.
I'll
give you $20 after we're done.
Sounds good.
Thanks. Appreciate that. So the history of CIT, where, kind of tell us where CIT started, how it all got started.
Yeah, so CIT actually began in 1988. There was an officer-involved shooting in Memphis, Tennessee. Law enforcement joined forces with the mental health community and NAMI, which is the National Alliance for Mental Illness, and they provide advocacy for families and individuals who experience mental illness. And together they created this training program to assist officers in better understanding mental illness, substance use, and intellectual and developmental disabilities. Since that time, CIT has become an international program. It's a gold standard of providing additional training to law enforcement. So we here in Mecklenburg County began our program in 2008. And since that time, we've trained over 1,500 officers, enforcement partners, I should say. We train all of our law enforcement partners within the county. So that includes Huntersville and the other five towns. That includes CMPD. It also includes our sheriff's office, our detention officers, probation, the universities and colleges in our area, as well as some of our federal partners that provide services in this area.
In Mecklenburg County.
So a lot of people out there that can help if you're dealing with a mental health crisis.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Johanna, Ebony told us before we got started, you know, we had said something about 20 officers had been through this, and she actually corrected me and said we've had 40 officers go through this program. And what I had pulled were our active staff.
Mm-hmm.
So you said the program's in place since 2008. So
absolutely.
Over 12 years, we've had 40 people go through this program, which is great. And again, our expectation here is that eventually every patrol officer ends up doing this. And then if they move to other areas of the police department, there might be something that they can use as a investigator or an SRO or something else in the police department.
And it's important that our people in those other roles also take those skills with them, whether they are working as a detective or they are an SRO. We love training our SROs because we know that they provide such amazing services to our students in the community. So also having that mental health background is a tremendous asset for
right.
them as well.
Yeah. So looking at the website, you can go to MecklenburgCountyNC.gov.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then there should be a link to the CIT there, and then you can see specifically what CIT serves as. But on that website, it talks about three components of the CIT programs in Mecklenburg County. So, Johanna, if you want to kind of cover those, what the three aspects of CIT are for us.
Sure. So I'll start with the training piece. So CIT officers go through 40 hours of training. So it is a whole week of training that they go through to be CIT certified. So that training includes a lot of different segments and components to kind of help officers understand various aspects of mental health. So there's topics such as that are covered, such as like autism, IDD or intellectual and developmental disabilities, like Ebony said. There are role plays where the officers can kind of practice the skills that they're learning. There's de-escalation, there's personality disorders and learning about those, all sorts of things. And those topics are really geared to talking with officers about how can you help. So what are kind of some signs to help you identify what's going on with somebody? And then how can you help that person to kind of de-escalate that situation? So in addition to the role plays to kind of practice those skills, they also go on site visits to really learn what resources are available to help people connect to in the community, where those are, how it looks to access those services for folks, and how to get people connected. So the whole 40 hours segment they go through, and then at the end they go through a graduation process, and they all get a pin that identifies them as CIT trained.
Right.
The 40 hours also goes over officer wellness as well, to make sure that our officers are taking care of themselves. So the better you take care of yourself, the better you can help take care of somebody else too.
Yeah, we were talking about that in a class earlier this week, is that, mm-hmm. you know, the better that we take care of the officers, the better the officers are going to take care of the community.
Absolutely.
So that coincides with that, where it's actually a nice segue there.
Oh, look at that.
Yes.
So here at Huntersville Police Department, we kind of pride ourselves on making sure that the officers are taken care of as mm-hmm. far as their mental well-being. And so every time a new officer comes in the door, we give them this book. It's called Emotional Survival for Law Enforcement. Mm-hmm. It's written by Dr. Kevin Gilmartin. He's a retired officer from Arizona. And when any officer reads this book, whether they've had 6 days or 6 years or 30 years, everybody can relate to it. And so what mm-hmm. we do here is we hand them this book and say, go read this.
Yep.
And your spouse or partner needs to read this. If mm-hmm. you have kids that are old enough to read, they need to read this so they understand some of the things that you're going through. And there's nothing in here like blood and guts and stuff, but it just talks about our, as police officers, our emotional response to things as our career progresses and mm-hmm. and how we deal with those stresses. Have either of y'all seen that?
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's actually sitting on my desk at home right now.
Yeah.
And yes. We actually, right before COVID, we began giving copies of those books to each of our graduates from the CIT class.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
Yeah, so they get a copy after they've gone through the whole class as part of their graduation process.
Yeah.
It's kind of our parting gift.
Yeah, this is not the thing I kind of like joking, not joking, is I tell people this is not 1975 anymore. Like, we need to identify that we have an issue, and as police officers, and
not
that
be
we
afraid
aren't,
to talk about
and not
that
be
issue
afraid
too.
To talk about it at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Look, I can see Ebony smiling through her mask because I don't think she realized that we even went that deep into it up
I'm
here.
I'm so happy.
Right? I love that you guys have so many copies sitting here just ready to go.
So we did. We bought a couple hundred a couple years ago, and just as people come in the door, we just hand them out as they come in and as we start new people. And so
that's fantastic.
Well, I don't think a lot of times in the community, I know I certainly didn't before I started this work, that people realize the amount of trauma that officers experience on a day-to-day basis. I mean, there's just so much that happens when you're out there saving lives and doing your work.
There was a recent study I saw that said an average person over a 20-year period might experience two or three significant events that could be mind-altering or life-changing, and that the average officer over that time, it's like 600 or 700 events that, and we're talking anything from like a traffic crash to, you know, a medical emergency or whatever. It's obviously significant.
And I think a lot of times too, the officer doesn't realize that they're having issues,
right?
Because we're so used to just, you know, we respond and that's it.
We go to the next one.
Just move on to the next one. So I think a lot of times we don't realize how it's affecting us mentally until the signs start popping up, you know, drinking or whatever the case may be. But we try and, you know, do a good job and make sure people know that this stuff is out there and we're here.
The CIT, so you started talking about the training portion. So before we get into the other two components of CIT, let's talk more about the training.
Absolutely.
So you said some of it is hands-on. They do role-playing. They actually go out and do observation of possible people that are in mental distress. Where do they do it? Where do they go and get that hands-on training?
Absolutely. So we have partnerships with folks in the community who allow our officers to go take those tours. And within those tours, a lot of times our officers are also talking with consumers at those different agencies and getting to hear their stories and, you know, what interactions they've had with police, what was helpful, what was not so helpful, to really help that to be a learning process. So a lot of times our officers are going to sites like Anuvia, who really specializes in substance abuse, Atrium Behavioral Health. They go to Hope Haven, which also is a residential facility for folks who are experiencing substance abuse and their families, and InnerVision, who helps folks who are having different mental health crises.
Okay, that's awesome. In the training, are they supplied, like when they're done, do they get a quick reference card or do they get something also besides a certificate and the pen?
Oh yeah.
Like how do they put that training into action when they get to work?
They get a whole packet.
Okay.
We have a folder that we fill with lots of information about all the different resources that are available in the community for them to help them utilize going forward. They also have quick resource cards too that they can hand out to community members, as well as keep in their cars to make sure. We're also working on a mobile website for officers and the community members to see, so that those will be quick and on their phone that they can access.
Yeah.
Great.
They additionally have access to all of the PowerPoints and information that they received during class. We have a lot of officers that are attending class, not just because of the work that they do in the community, but also because they have family members who may be experiencing some of these different mental health related issues that we discuss in class. So for them, they're able to log into a website, go onto a website where they have access to all of the PowerPoints, the presenters and their phone numbers, information, websites, where they can go if they need to access some of those resources for themselves or for the people that they serve.
And the officers, I'm assuming, are pretty receptive when they're in class. You don't really have people that come in and just shut down and they're like, oh, I'm just in another training class.
Well, I can tell you that it's a 40-hour class. And so just like many of us at the beginning of that class, you're kind of like, really, do I have to be here for 40 hours and watch PowerPoints, you know, the death by PowerPoint. but you can see the transition that takes place in many of our officers. You know, like we said, many officers have been waiting to take that training for years because it's usually full, right? And so then we have officers who are, you know, asked if they would like to come, and they say, yes, sure, we'll come. you know, but they don't understand necessarily the significance of what they're learning until they're there. And
right.
we see the transition occurring throughout the week as mm-hmm. we transition from the instructional portion of the class into the relationship building and the interacting with individuals who are there to share their stories with those officers.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the week, there's usually lots of tears. You see lots of officers who are talking about how impactful this experience has been for them. And you see people hugging and talking. Well, not right now.
Yeah,
of
course, right
but,
now.
Fist bumping.
Right.
Elbow bumping.
Lots of
air
emotions.
High fives.
Yes, lots of air high fives. And a significant graduation. And people always say, we'd love to come back and assist with class because it meant so much to us.
How has COVID affected training this year for you all, for the police side of things?
So we have a lot of struggles there. We're working on it, of course, because there's so many elements of this training that involve so many people. Because
right.
a lot of our partners come in to these trainings, and we want to make sure everybody stays safe. So we have not held a CIT class since February.
Right.
But we're hopeful that, you know, hopefully things will change soon and we
get
can
back soon.
Start training folks again. We have, so in addition to 40-hour CIT, every 2 years an officer comes becomes available to come back. And take our advanced refresher course. So the advanced refresher course is a shorter course. It's about 4 hours, but it gives them a refresh about the officer wellness, about de-escalation, and about mental health and just kind of the general partnership stuff that might have changed, things like that, to kind of keep officers refreshed and reminding them about the importance of their wellness.
Yeah.
And this is kind of why we're doing this episode, too. I tell people all the time it's important to go outside and look around and see what's actually going on and not look at your phone and get your what's going on
yep.
from your phone. Mm-hmm. You know, get outside and realize that a predominant amount, 99% of the officers out there are wanting to do this and long to do this
mm-hmm.
and
Absolutely.
Want to make this difference
yep.
and want positive outcomes out of every interaction. And so step out, listen to our podcast. Look at MecklenburgCountyNC.gov and look at some of the resources that are there and available. Nobody's just ignoring this
absolutely.
Issue.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, our rosters are full.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
awesome.
Officers cannot wait for us to start this again
right.
And get this training because they really, this is a big part of their being an officer and wanting to help people. And so they
right.
want this training. It's just a matter of COVID and us being able to do it safely.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and if we're expecting our officers to do these other things that they weren't expected to do 30 years ago, we got mm-hmm. to give them the training to do it. We can't just tell them, go forth and conquer.
Just go and do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, we are therapists. We are licensed
mm-hmm.
within the state of North Carolina. But we don't expect our officers to be licensed therapists. But when there's a crisis, everyone wants officers to know the answers to everything.
Yeah.
Your marriage counselors, your you know, children experts,
yeah.
your psychologists, your, you know, law enforcement, your all of these things. And so it's important for us to be able to at least give you the resources to help you find what is best for that person experiencing a crisis.
Yeah.
And I will say too, even outside of the partnerships that we have with our law enforcement, we also train our 911 dispatchers
mm-hmm.
Because we recognize that it's so important for them when someone's calling 911 that dispatcher or that 911 call taker recognize some of those signs and symptoms and know that they need to have a CIT officer come out to that that place.
So do the dispatchers come and sit in this training as well, or do you have a separate training for the
We have a separate 20-hour training
for the
sorry, 16-hour training for
okay.
them.
Okay.
But it includes a lot of the same elements that
yeah.
the officers would get.
And then do they have a I'm sorry, Odette, did you have a...
I was going to, but please speak.
No, I was just going to... You know, a lot of times dispatchers have a, you know, like a tab book in front of them. So when they have somebody call in
mm-hmm.
and they have X, Y, and Z going on, are they provided with that as part
yes.
of this as well?
So they're also provided with some of those resources and the ability to reach out to those resources or provide those to individuals in the community that are calling.
Awesome.
So speaking of resources, do we have, you know, numbers that we can give out to people in case they need to call?
Yeah, if somebody's
Absolutely.
Experiencing
yeah.
a mental health break, tell us what
yeah.
us what they do.
Okay.
Or what the family does.
So, I mean, there are several different ways, especially if someone is, you know, thinking about killing themselves, things like that. There are several different hotlines that are out there for folks in addition to calling 911. So, I mean, if the threat is really imminent and we're concerned about someone's safety, calling 911 and asking for a CIT officer a lot of times is the best course. But, you know, if it's for someone's thinking about it and it's not really an imminent threat at that point, there are other hotlines that someone can call. So there's the National Suicide Hotline, whose number is 800-273-8255. Cardinal Innovations has a hotline that folks can call, which is 800-939-5911. And those are more call and talk to somebody lines. If someone is wanting someone to come out to their home and they're concerned about their safety from a mental health standpoint, they can also call Mobile Crisis. So Mobile Crisis number is 704-566-3410, and you want to select option 1. But again, if it is an imminent safety risk, we really encourage folks to call 911 and ask for a CIT officer to come to their home.
Yeah. And we'll put all these numbers and stuff on this.
Yeah.
Whenever you are able to hear and listen to this podcast, we'll have these phone numbers and stuff up and available to you in the social media link as well.
Yeah. You know, if you're thinking of, you know, we've had some recent incidents in town where people have taken their lives. If you are feeling like you're going to hurt yourself, just call somebody. I mean, if you need to call us, we'll come out and talk to you too. But call somebody, let somebody know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very important. Thank you all for coming in today. You know, there's a couple other components to this, but I think our big thing was, you know, let's talk about the police side of it and our response and the training and stuff that goes into this. So thank you all very much for coming here, Johanna and Ebony. Yeah,
thank you.
You're so welcome. Yeah. Please we'll have us back.
Yeah, we will.
Thank you for having us.
We'll have
I appreciate
a little follow-up at some point and have you guys back. And are both of you all licensed therapists?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So when we're done with this, I need to talk because this one...
we're going to have to sit down.
This one over here.
I'll make sure to bill your insurance.
Can you please... Because this one over here across the desk from me, I need to talk to somebody. Do we have a traffic tip of the week?
Oh, man. Watch for those motor guys.
That's about the extent of it. We this motor tip thing, I don't know if we're going to be able to keep this one up because there's
plenty of traffic tips that we can give people.
Don't crash.
Don't crash your car. Use your turn signals.
Yeah.
Stop at stop signs and don't block intersections.
There we go.
There we go.
So that was traffic tips of the week.
Yeah. Big one. Don't block the intersection.
Yeah. So what do we have coming up next week?
Next week, I think we're going to have SRO.
Yeah?
Maybe
should we have another guest?
I think we should.
Ronbo?
Oh, yeah. Officer Bonanno.
Yeah. You guys that go to Lake Norman Charter School know Officer Bonanno. So he is dying to come on this podcast.
He doesn't know it yet, but he's going to be a guest.
He's going to be a guest next week, so we can talk about all things SRO.
Oh, yeah.
So
it'll be a good one.
Thank you so much for listening again to this week, and we will see you on episode 10.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to another episode of HPDHQ. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. It's easy. Just type in Huntersville Police Department. If you have a comment or question for the HPDHQ podcast, email us, podcast@huntersville.org. That's podcast@huntersville.org. If you like this episode and think someone else would too, please share it, and don't forget to hit the subscribe option. We are the Huntersville Police Department. And remember, making good choices makes for a better day.